I find the spiritual service section, for me, it just kind of helped me get a sense of what my place with my guru could be or wanted to be. You know, we talk a lot about service at Ananda, and we practice getting involved in some way. You help with the bagel bar, or you stuff envelopes, was the old way of looking at it. There's not many envelopes to stuff anymore. It's mostly pushing buttons on the computer. But some way to get your hands and your energy engaged in something that is the guru's work. And sometimes the little tasks have seemed a little silly to invite people to do. But what I understood when I first came there is that when I started volunteering, or I had a little job in a market in town away from Ananda Village, we all had to pay our rent, and you know, it's an ashram in one sense of the word, but we all had to make our own money to make our own way. And I didn't have a huge savings or anything when I went there, so I needed to, you know, pay for my expenses. So the only jobs available were in town, working at a little health food store. And, you know, I'd done a lot of other things in my life, executive assistants and offices and this and that, and architecture office, all kinds of places. And I never thought I would be in a cafe serving vegetarian food. I mean, oh, it kind of seemed, well, a little beneath my capabilities, you know, in a way. But I didn't really think of it that way when I went there, because we were just learning about how do you stay in the energy that you get in your meditation. How do you live in that throughout the day, that same level of consciousness? I mean, I was having these great meditations. Oh, lovely, God is there, I feel him, you know, my devotion is kindled, and I'm getting rewarded by this beautiful sense of peace and all the things, whatever I was feeling in my meditations. Oh, this is just great. I think I'd like to just stay here forever. Well, that's not exactly what happens. You don't walk into your meditation room, close the door, and never come out until you're self-realized. You know, that doesn't happen. So we have to go about our day. So it was a wonderful training to just do simple work like that, thinking, I'm doing this for God. Do my job or my chanting, whatever I was doing. And try and stay as much as I could in that energy of being close to God as I was doing what I was doing. So I started learning those lessons about service, which were very helpful. And then I thought, I started attuning myself a little more. Well, God, how can I serve you better? What can I do to serve you? And by reading the autobiography first, I guess that was the first book I read, yeah, to know about Yogananda, then finding Ananda, reading The Path from Kriyananda and his life. Well, Yogananda's life, he grew up in India. How exotic, how wonderful. I want to go there one day, I thought, because it looks so spiritual, all that he said. Saints are everywhere. He's up in the Himalayas. He's meeting these people. And he's going into Samadhi, and that's for me. Sign me up. When do we go? But we were born in the West. You know, we have sort of a little different Dharma. So in reading about Swami's life, he had a lot of the same questions I had. It sort of helped me bridge myself to how do you be a good disciple? How do you be a good disciple here, now, in the life you've been given? Not born in India or somewhere else. I too searched. I tried. I looked. I read. I noticed. I observed. There was suffering. How do you help people get out of it? How do I get out of it? So I'd had enough experience by 32 that I was quite thirsty for knowing the truth, just as Swamiji Kriyananda had gone through enough by the time he was just getting out of college that he... Something had awakened already, a hunger for something more, something he didn't see anybody else offering. And his own observations had shown him, I want something else. I want to know the truth, was his piece of being motivated. I want to know the truth. And that led him to have that experience in Charleston, which is, what is God? Because he was a man of great mind, he could debate, he was educated in that way of the intellect. What is this thing, God, that people keep talking about? I haven't heard anything about him that makes me want to find him, but I know I want something. So he was there in Charleston. I love that moment where, have we gotten to that part?
I'm just trying to look, yeah, whether we actually included that chapter. at the start.
Do you guys remember Charleston when he was there? Maybe he hasn't gotten
Actually, no. That's chapter 15. We started on 16.
Been from last time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It'll be what you read. It'll be your last chapter you read next
okay,
week.
Okay, so
this upcoming.
Something to come. Drum roll. It's really important, that moment that comes. Because for me, I had a moment like that. And most people that come to Ananda or, you know, are real sincere spiritual seekers, there's a reason they're spiritually seeking. There's a reason they got really activated to find something. And there are two reasons that we see, you know, over and over again. And one is, Yogananda pegged it, get away from suffering. You know, they haven't found a way to not have suffering in their lives or to see other people around them have suffering. It's the suffering piece that you want to get away from. In the Gita, it says, get away from my ocean of suffering. You know, this world has a lot of suffering. We see it in our families, in our lives, in our hearts, in the newspaper. You can't not see it if your eyes are open. So suffering is there. At some point, you really want to get away from it. Then the second part, Yogananda said, is the other thing that draws people to God is they want more joy. You know, and that, how do you know you want more joy? Probably because you had a little taste of it. You know, maybe you read poetry, or you read a book, or you saw an opera, or listened to classical music, something that just took you up above the normal day-to-day, do it, get it done. Just the normal day-to-day realities, it just lifted us up. Sometimes it's in nature. You go and you're on a vacation, and you see the ocean, and something just lets your soul soar a little bit. And then, it's like, wow, I want more of that. So, you know, one inquires, could I possibly retire to this ocean place right now because I had such a good day there? Well, that's not really practical. And if we did, we might not have that same joy every day. So, for me, it was joy I was looking for. I knew I'd had a little bit of it, and I knew that it was shaky, on shaky ground, because it usually depended on a circumstance or a person or a thing that I didn't have any say over whether that was going to stay the way it was. And I'd had enough experience that I have joy here, poof, gone, I suffer. I had joy here, poof, gone, I suffer. It's like, this is kind of suspicious to me, this joy that right around the corner. You know, I remember reading in the AY, Yogananda said, pleasure is like a rattlesnake behind the bushes, ever ready to strike. You know, you just can't find the thing that is dependable, the joy that doesn't go away. I couldn't find that. And somehow in my little fevered brain, I knew enough to say, God, I want joy. It's just a moment in my life. Actually, I was at the ocean after a big disappointment in life. And I just, it welled up from within me. Somebody said, well, what do you want? And we were looking at the stars, and I was trying to sort things out that this big disappointment had happened. He said, what do you want? For some reason, that moment, whether it was the ocean or the sky or my own karma, you know, something just welled up, and I put my foot on the ground, and I said, I want joy. And it was kind of like I looked around like, who said that? You know, because it's had such a power to it. It just came beyond me. But that same foot that determined that, I mean, I was always a, you know, nice, soft-spoken, gentle kind of person, so I was a little surprised that that force came in that way, because I always wanted to help everybody else's happiness, and I didn't really have that many wants myself. Like, I want a new... I had a sister who would want a new dress, and that was really important to her. I'm not going there. It was just too upsetting. I'm not going to get involved in that. But this one, I just knew from the core of my being that there was something in it. The same foot stepped onto Ananda Village for a retreat where I learned how to meditate, you know, within a month and a half after I prayed. So, you know, we all have these moments that... you know, catapult us forward, wake us up, I want more of that joy, or I want less of that suffering. So I felt encouraged when I read about, because, you know, Yogananda seems so far away. I thought, how can I live that life? Well, I'll move to India. Well, I was, you know, 17. It was a little impractical to think I was going to live the rest of my life I wanted to go right to the Himalayas to find Babaji. I was a very idealistic 17-year-old, and, you know, when you're 17, anything's possible in the United States of America, right? So I thought, well, I'll just go to India and find him and have him teach me how to be this way. I learned as time went on in my own karma and things happened. I wasn't headed out that way, so I wandered around just trying to figure it all out and go through my karma, and then this opportunity to come to Ananda Village, and you know, then I stepped on the ground, and my foot, as soon as I got out of the car, my girl, a longtime friend, she was the older sister of my best friend growing up, so she was always the older sister, right, who always had more knowledge than we did. She took me there, and I, just going along really to have company and help me get over my disappointments was it. But as soon as I got out of the car, I stepped on the ground, and this ringing kind of happened. Like the thought came to my mind, ring true, that word ring true. What is it about that? And then suddenly I put my foot on the ground and I have this feeling inside me. And I just spent the next few days just like a little bliss ninny, you know, tagging around after my friend. And she'd go up and she'd introduce me to this person and they'd be beaming with all this light and joy and love. And I go, wow, nice to meet you, you know. And then we'd go to the next person, nice to meet you. And they all had that look of just joy coming out of them and all around them. And then I went to the class, Kriyananda, very quiet, understated way, said, you know, we will now, for those of you who haven't yet learned Hong Sa, we will now guide you through it. And then, you know, wow, there I was, taking off in this meditation technique. And so I was really happy that Kriyananda wrote the path in such a way that I could get to know him a little bit as a friend when he was young, like I was young at that, you know, at that time. He'd been through these things. I knew that looked a lot like my life. I had tried all those things, and it was very helpful. And you know, and as he introduced himself to all the writers by writing this book, because his guru said, "Go out, spread these teachings to anyone who's interested." So his job was to make those bridges. You know, he could have gone out and just read the Bhagavad Gita. You know, he ended up reading the Bhagavad Gita and talking about it in India when he was 80. But in those early days, he knew his job was to write, to lecture, and to help other people overcome their doubts the way he'd overcome his doubts. So he makes the book very humanly, shaking your hand. I went to this school, I did this thing, I did that thing, I had these questions, I had these friends. And then I got serious about my search. And then, as Biraj said, my search led me to my guru. And then his life of discipleship was the only thing happening from then on out. And his guru had told him that he would be free at the end of his life. And he realized that the work that his guru had given him was one way to bring about that freedom. Because he had these doubts and he still had these karmic things to work through and finish up. And his dedication to teaching, to his spiritual service for his guru, was to share the spirit that his guru had given him in the way of teachings, lecturing, writing, which was his job to do. But you know, when I was there working in Earth Song, and I thought, my way of serving the spirit of my guru is to have my energy in the right place, to not be reactive, you know, to be practicing the teachings while I was serving. But there came to be a point where I was listening and I thought, you know, there's another way that I feel called to serve. I really feel that I've been given so much that's of joy and of a path to find my own freedom, to be like Yogananda, because he says, it's not just me you're looking at and saying, isn't that great? I want you to learn, you know, this is for everybody to learn to be like this. This is your destiny. This is your higher self. So how can I become like the consciousness of a Yogananda? And so I started thinking, you know, what is my spiritual service? And it led me to ministry, to helping other people learn a little bit about what I learned, at least to share the meditation technique, which is impersonal. It's from the guru to the disciple. And it's been wonderful to be able to be a part of that flow of energy. Like Swami Kriyananda, another thing I recognized when he was on the bus coming across from New York, he said, I realized, you know, I left everything behind and I'm following this man with the picture on the front of the book, you know, I don't even kind of know why in a way, other than I was kept up all night feeling such inspiration and joy after reading the autobiography. He says, well, I'm just going to go. It's time. I'm going to go find him and I'm just going to go find him. And that's what he thought. But on the bus over, I always loved what he said. He said, I realized that what I wanted was to find God, to know God, and to help others to know him. Those two things. And those were the key notes of Kriyananda's life. And I felt for me, I wanted them to be the keynotes of my life. And we all have ways that we give our spiritual service. By having right attitude, by practicing all that you learned in Raja Yoga about even-minded, about praying for other people, about being positive and not negative. All those little pieces, it's such a rich feast of things we can put in our backpack and pull out in a situation. Oh yeah, I can breathe. Things get a little scary, you know, when the children in our school, it's so cute. We have the Living Wisdom School children and they learn how to meditate. They come from many paths, many faiths. Their parents are Buddhists and Catholics and Jewish and what, doesn't matter. But they have this practice that they learn how to listen, you know, watch their breath, calm themselves, and they learn how to get into a peaceful place, and they learn about breathing and how breathing can make a difference. And there's a really fun story. One of the children, many ages play in the playground. We have a little city center, so there's not a lot of room. So one of the children fell, and there was a little blood from where they hit their nose or hand or something they hit, and there was a little blood. It wasn't an emergency, but it was obvious that he'd hurt himself. And suddenly, all the children crowded around him, and they wanted to help. And what they said was, now, I don't remember his name, now Johnny, remember now, breathe deeply. Take a deep breath in. And they all were with him, and they said, let's breathe together. So they're all breathing with Johnny and are trying to help him be calm in the face of this fall and injury and being scared. And
that just happened a week ago.
This was an earlier one, but it happened a week ago, too. And, you know, all the tools that we have. But so what is our spiritual service? I mean, I just love that Swami Kriyananda and many others, when it's that time in life, he came right to his guru, I'm yours. Put me to work, you know. I'll do anything you want me to do. I want you to write and lecture. Well, okay, if you want me to, I'll do it. So that kind of openness to listening to God's will and doing the service that's asked of us is, I think, a powerful part of the path. And I think reading. Having somebody like a Kriyananda come along, he was just so human to my mind. And I felt like if I had been his age, maybe I could have been his friend. Yeah, I mean, when I met him, it ended up that I was his friend. But when I read about him in the book, you know, I thought, well, yeah, if I'd been in those days, I might have been sitting around in a like room talking about the philosophy of the time and what is truth and how do you find it, and having those discussions.
Might have been like Rod
Rod, who
the coffee shop.
He said, we're going to figure it out, you know, by sitting and drinking this coffee. I used to do that too, you know, figure it out with the, you know, we're going to figure it out before the night's over because we have these good minds and we're going to keep asking ourselves the questions that are going to give us the answers, and, you know. It was a fun exercise, philosophy and all that, but it didn't sustain. It didn't change my life. I was not transformed by it. I was entertained by it, and I was given hope, but it didn't actually land me to where I knew it was going to be something I could do myself that was going to keep changing me for the better. I never could find that thing until yoga and meditation. So I found it's been good to have have this connection with a disciple who's Western. And at first I thought, you know, I moved into this ashram house right after I visited up there, because I was in between things in my life. And my friend was moving into a house with other devotees, and they had a bedroom open. She said, "Do you want to live here?" I said, "Great. You know, I'll be in Sacramento," where she lived. "I could go up to Ananda Village," which is where I wanted to move, pretty close, you know, for events, and I can just keep in touch. I'll go up there. There was a city center in Sacramento. So I'll be there. But lo and behold, I didn't know that there were other devotees of Yogananda living in the house who had decided that Yogananda was the guru and Kriyananda was in the way, is kind of how they had come to it. You know, everybody's allowed their own opinion. But I remember thinking how starkly different it was. I would go up to Ananda Village, and I just got it. If Swami was meditating in the room, my meditation went from wherever it was to a whole lot bigger and more joyful. And I just, there's something happening there. And then I'd come home, and this was during the controversy times between SRF and Ananda, so everybody, you know, it's all just these things happen with families. And so these guys, how did I know? They had firmly on the other side. And so I walked in the kitchen once, and I'm like, "Oh, I've just been to Ananda Village, you know, and I'm just so happy, you know." And then the room suddenly, it's very quiet. I'm like, "Why the room is so quiet? I don't understand.
Did I say something?
Is everybody okay? You know, what's wrong?" And and they didn't really want to. They were kind enough. They didn't really want to just totally flood out my parade, but. You know, as time went on, I learned that they were over in the corner a lot of the time. My room was down here, but a lot of the time, I would hear these people that, and I could just feel the energy of just like, and then I'd walk in the room and there'd be silence. So it was an interesting time. But it's just like, you know, they're just different. I just think they're spiritual families, and. What I realized, because I had to figure it out for myself, I thought, well, are they right? I mean, should I just be reading the AY? And I was now reading all of Yogananda's books. I read all of them. I had this open space where nothing was going on in my life because everything had been taken away. So this was my time to study, and I just would read book after book from Yogananda, and then I would read book after book of Kriyananda, and I was just reading them. And I remember saying, how do you figure this out for yourself? I mean, should you just go off to SRF, you know? I mean, is Yogananda the guru, and why should you settle for less? I mean, here it is. I want the best. So what I realized as I went back and forth myself, I had an experience at Ananda. I had an experience in the house and just looking at Ananda's pictures. I had an experience at Ananda. I just had to figure out for myself. And finally what I got is, you know what? Maybe I'm just not evolved enough to be able to just, like, use the Kriya from Yogananda and just go and just know that's going to get me there. Maybe I'm just one of those cases that's too dumb. But you know what? So what? So what I got was Swami Kriyananda was like a step stool. Yogananda was up here and I was here. And I could tippy-toe, I could get a trampoline, but I wasn't, you know, I was going to keep trying, you know, and that would be okay. But I found like there was this step that Kriyananda was just like, okay, I will help you get there. I will help you get there. Because I will explain things in a way that you can understand. And I'm here. And I have these world, you know, I've been given this work, but not his, but to make World Brotherhood colonies for Yogananda. And I guess maybe because I'm one of those sluggards, I needed to be around people who were like me. You know, if I did try, I went down to SRF and I thought maybe I'll just be a nun, but I thought, you know, I don't really fit in here. It's not mine, but for those it is theirs, then they should be there. But I thought, you know, this is my family. I had to compare, contrast. It's the only way I could figure it out for myself, because I had to know the truth for me, because the truth for other people isn't the same as the truth for me. But I got very strong guidance when I was there. I've spoken of it before in different places, but where Yogananda said in this life, I felt very strong, I want you to be with the World Brotherhood colonies. I want you to help. I identify myself as a helper, so he told me that. You know, he didn't actually say, I want you to be helped, because, you know, you can't do it on your own, which is probably true, too. But I want you to help with the World Brotherhood Colonies Movement, and it helped me get some clarity. But, so I think Kriyananda offers a link, but he never says, I'm replacing Yogananda.